Today's Shiur is Masechta Menachos Daf Samach Tes. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Ches on the base, 15 lines from the bottom. Seder Hansa Gali Pil Simen. By Rabbi Bacham Shtei Lechem Mashi Tirish Loike Sidron. As we have been learning quite extensively, the Karban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach, and when it's brought on the second day of Pesach, from then on, one may eat the Chodosh. Then the Shtei Lechem is brought on Shavuos, and from when the Shtei Lechem is brought, from then on, you could eat, you could bring Kabonis from the Chodosh. Now the Gemara's question is, what happens if this wasn't done in the proper order that we just discussed? And the Gemara, because as we said, the Omer is on Pesach, and the Shtei Lechem is on Shavuos. So ask the Gemara, Hechidam, exactly what are the circumstances being discussed? Says the Gemara, Kegoin Dizrinu. The case is where they planted the wheat for the Shtei Lechem, Ben Omer, between the time that the Omer is brought, which is, as we keep on repeating, the second day of Pesach, the Shtei Lechem, to the time till Shavuos. Now, what happens is, you have this wheat prepared. It can't be eaten, because since it was planted after Pesach, then it's Chodosh, and if it's Chodosh, it can't be eaten, and it can't be eaten till next year. But what happens is that we don't therefore bring it this year for the Shtei Lechem. V'chol v'lai Shtei Lechem, on Shavuos, the time that it could have been used for Shtei Lechem passes, and then the Omer. So if, under normal circumstances, what happens is that first the Chodosh becomes Mutter through the Omer on Pesach, and then after becomes Mutter through the Omer on Pesach, then we have the Shtei Lechem, and that's brought. But here we have grain that was Mutter first on Shavuos. Shavuos passed it before Pesach passed it. And the Gemara explains this question. My Kesidrin Sharin, only when it goes in the proper order, first Pesach, then Shavuos. Shloi Kesidrin Loi Sharin, they won't become Mutter. Or Shloi Kesidrin Nami Misharin, even if Shavuos passed this grain before Pesach, it won't prevent for us from using this grain as a carbon. Amar Rabba, so Rabba attempts to answer the question. Toshima, the pasuk says, "Vim takar of miches bikurim." Says the Gemara, what is that pasuk referring to? The miches haimer kos medaber. It's talking about the miches haimer, which comes as the grain is ready on Pesach. Meichem ba, what type of grain is used? Minasayim, barley. Ask the Bryce itself, at the Omer Minasayrim, is that true that we use, barley by Enel Melechitim? Perhaps what should be used is wheat. Rebbe Lezer Omer, to which Rebbe Lezer answers, Nema Ovev B'Mitzrayim. The Torah, when it speaks about the Makas Barad, says Vapista Vasaira Nuksa Kesaira Aviv Apishta Govel Vama, and then the Pasuk also uses the word Aviv Ladiris when we speak about the Michas Omer. The Pasuk says from Takr of Michas Bakurim Lashem Aviv Kolibesh Geris Carmel Takris Michas Bakurecha Ma Aviv Ha'omer B'Mitzrayim. When the Torah uses the word Aviv, when it speaks about Mitzrayim, as we just said, the Pasuk says the word Sa'irim. Says the Gemara, Af Aviv Ha'amal L'dairus, when the Torah speaks about Aviv, in future generations, the fact that the Torah uses the same words, same wording, it means Sairim. And that's how we know, suggests the Braisa, that the Michas Haimer comes from Sairim. Rekiva has a different way of getting to this conclusion. He says, Metzini Yochet Shemevi Chavasim Anachitim. We know that an individual could bring a carbon mincha from chitin. We often discuss in our masechta that if somebody did certain type of averus, he brings a carbon oil of a yirid. And as we've discussed, the definition of a carbon oil of a yirid is by these averus, if the person could afford, he brings an animal as a karma chatas. If he can't afford that, then he brings two birds. If he can't afford that, he brings a karma mincha. And that karma mincha is brought minachitim. It's brought from wheat. Chavasai, and we also find chavasai minasairim. If a woman is accused of being a saita, the first part in that process is that she brings a mincha from barley. Tzibur, we find the tzibur bring maybe chavasai minachitim. The tzibur brings a carbon from wheat. The shtei lechem that's brought on Shavuos, those two chalas are made from chitin. So similarly, suggests Rekiva, Mavin Chavasim and Asirim, there must be a circumstance where they bring their carbon, a carbon that the Tziba has to bring, should be brought from barley. And if that's the case, Vim Ata Oimer Ba Menachitin, and if you're going to suggest that the carbon Oimer, that the carbon Mechas Oimer comes from wheat, so then Loimetzinu Betziba Shemevi Chavasim and Asirim will never find a circumstance that they bring a carbon that the tzibur has to bring from Sairim. The Gemara brings another raya that the Omer comes from Sairim. Dava Achar, imat the Omer, Omer ba menachitin, if we're going to suggest that the Omer comes from chitin, ein shtei lechem bikurim. What we said was that on Shavuos, they brought the shtei lechem. And we explained that the person that brought the purpose of the shtei lechem was to bring from the new tvua a carbon to bring a carbon from the new grain which is made out of wheat. Now, if the michas oimer is going to be already also wheat, so then the shtei lechem won't be the first time we're bringing a carbon from that type of grain. We will have already brought it from the Michas, we will have already brought it by the Michas Oimer. The fact that the Torah wants that the Shtei Lechem should be considered the first time we bring this carbon from this type of grain, it must be that the Oimer won't be wheat like the Shtei Lechem is. Rather, the Oimer will be barley, and then everything will work fine. The Michas Oimer will be barley, and that will be the first time we use barley from the Chodesh, and the Shtei Lechem will be wheat, and that will be the first time we use wheat. That will be the first time we use wheat for this carbon. Says Vim Isa, says the Gemara. Now the Gemara makes, this is all different proofs that the Gemara has offered to prove that the Shtei Lechem, this is all proof that the Shtei Lechem has to be wheat and the Omer has to be barley. But says the Gemara, Vim is the Shtei Lechem Kishloik Sidron Shadron, if we're going to say that the Shtei Lechem allows us to bring the new Mincha, even if it's the wheat came after the Minchas Omer, Mishkach's law will find that the Shtei Lechem will be from the first wheat. The makar of Omer Mahanach the Asher is Kodim Shtei Lechem, because my Omer will be brought from grain that was prepared before the Shtei Lechem. Or however, it only became ready Ubasar Omer the Shtaket after the Omer of this year was brought. The Shtei Lechem, Mahanach the Asher is Kodim Omer the Hashta, and the Shtei Lechem will be from grain that was taken root before the Omer of this year. And after the Shtei Lechem of this year, that will be the wheat that will be used for the carbon Omer. And that way, and again, to illustrate, if the wheat was planted in Eir after the Omer and before the Shtei Lechem, and then they planted Chitim in Tammuz after the Shtei Lechem, because the Shtei Lechem was brought in Sivan, in Shavuos, the next year, they'll bring Omer from the chitim that were planted in Eir that become mutter because the shtei lechem that become mutter because the shtei lechem that was last year Shavuos, and the shtei lechem of this year will bring from the chitim that were planted in Tammuz. So we'll have the Omer coming from chitim, but they'll both be chitim from the new crop, but This will be new for the chitim that came before the shtei lechem of last year. And the shtei lechem of this year will come from wheat that was brought after the shtei lechem of last year. That did not rely on the omer because it came mutter because of the shtei lechem and not because of the omer. And therefore we'll have both the omer and the shtei lechem coming from wheat, but it'll be from new wheat. Both will be different crops of new wheat. And therefore, we'll be able to bring the karbonis, both karbonis from wheat. And if that is indeed the halacha, so then the wheat, we don't have a raya based on this entire understanding that the omer has to be barley. Says the Gemara, mi savrit. Does it make sense to say bekura l'pheri karminin? That the Torah, when it speaks about shtei lechem, it means that it be new chitin. The mizbeach karminin. The Torah says that we don't want to be put on the mizbeach from tefuah came from the shtei lechem. Says the Gemara, if we're going to do what we're suggesting now, hachlem mizbeach repair the ashata. The mizbeach is already eating from tefuah that was brought this year. So if that's going to be case, we don't want that to be the case, and that's why it must be that shloika sidrum. That's why it's not done that way, but it's not a raya one way or the other. So to the question of which year shtei lechem can be used and which year shtei lechem cannot be used, ask the Gemara. By Ram Bacham shtei lechem. When we speak about the shtei lechem, that as we said, once the shtei lechem is brought, that the halacha is you can now bring all types of kabanas from the new crop. The question is, hanotzah sharia, what does that allow us to bring? Does that allow hanotzah sharia or hanotzah sharia? Does that mean that any fruit that the blossom fell off before the shtei lechem is brought on Shavuos is going to become permissible through the shtei lechem being brought on Shavuos? Or is that lochem, it has to be that the fruit has already begun to give off new fruit before Shavuos. And the fact that that's called chanota, that the new fruit has begun to grow. If we don't have, suggest the Gemara, yet a chanota, if all we have, suggest the Gemara, is just hanotza, that is not enough that fruit can become mutter through shtei lechem. So the Gemara drills down. My hanotza, my chanotza. Exactly what is hanotza and what is chanotza. Ilay manotza the pera, it will say that hanotza means the fruit that the blossom falls off, chanotza the pera, and that the shtei lechem is what the question is, on which fruit is shtei lechem effective. Ask the Gemara, it's very difficult to understand. What grain becomes mutter through the carbon oimer? So the halacha is, as long as the grain took root before the mechus oimer took place, that makes that grain is not chadash. So ask the Gemara, if the oimer could accomplish that there's no problem of chadash, just if there was hashrosha, that it took root before the omer was brought. Chanotza v'chanota, which are much later phases in the growth of a fruit, certainly should become mutter with the shtei lechem. Ella halotza da'la v'chanota la. What we're referring to here is the leaves. Do we say mi have a kashrosha? Do we say that the leaves that grow are equal to the hashrosha? And as soon as we have the leaves, the halacha is that the shtei lechem, that for any fruit that has leaves, it's enough. Or it's not the equivalent to hashrosha. And the halacha will be, you will have to wait for next year to eat that produce. And the Gemara remains with it to use for a carbon or to eat. And the Gemara remains with a teiko. By Rabbi Chana, chitin shazar b'kaka. if you planted wheat in the ground and then the Omer passes, Ha'omer Matira Eina Omer Matira, will the Omer take off the Issa Chadosh for what was planted in the ground? And the Gemara drills down. Hechi Dami, ask the Gemara exactly what are you asking? Ida Ashrish, if we're speaking about a situation where what we're talking about already took root, Tanina, that we learned in the Mishnah. Read the Loy Ashrish, and if the produce we're discussing has not yet taken root, also Tanina. All of this has been taught in the Mishnah we're going to learn, the Tanan. Imishrisha Kaidim Laimer, any produce that took root before Aimer is brought, the Aloch is Aimer Matiran. The Aimer makes them permissible to be eaten. Bimlav, and if they didn't take root, Asurim, they may not be eaten at Shiyav Aimer Abba until next year Aimer. So what's the question? Asked the Gemara. What is your question? Says the Meloy Tzricha. The question is, the Chatztenu, that somebody cut off this grain, Vizarinu Kaidim Laimer, and replanted them before the carbon aimer is brought. That means somebody cut off grain from the new tour that took root after last year's carbon aimer was brought. And therefore, since it only took root after last year's aimer was brought, it may not be eaten until next year's aimer. And then the person replanted that grain. V'asa aimer v'chalaf alayu. And now the carbon aimer was brought, and this grain that once took root in the ground, but now was replanted, but now has not taken root again. That's the question. For Kamebaile, the Gemara's question, Rabbi Babachana's question is, are you allowed to take this grain and use it before even though they haven't taken root? Says Rashi, and anything that grows from these grain, there's no question that they may not be eaten until next year's Omer, because even if somebody were to plant grain that's 100% mutter, because the grain was taken root or cut before the Omer, and the halacha is, anything that's planted that only grows after Omer, then you have to wait till next year's Omer. The question of Al Gemara, says Rashi, is on the grain itself that already took root before the Omer of this year, was cut and now replanted. So what is the question? May we eat them? And says the Gemara, what is our question? Command the Shadi B'Kamadamu, the fact that they were replanted doesn't really change them. Sharinu Omer, and the fact that they replanted the Omer, that this is produce that took root, and the Omer makes permissible all produce. Adama batul gabara, since they were replanted in the ground, and as Rashi continues with what he just said a moment ago, and whatever grows from them, we're learning there is no question that the Omer won't make them permissible. And the question of the Gemara is that, do we say that since the Gedulim, what grows won't be mutter, what they grow from will have the same status as the growth? Or do we say that the actual grain, as we've been explaining, has become mutter, and since the actual grain has become mutter, it cannot become usher again just because I replanted it and just because the gedulim will be usher. There's no question, of course, point out to Rishonim, that if the seeds that we replanted take root, so explain the Sfas Emes and others, that even though the halacha of the gedulim will be dependent, if they come out after the Omer, they won't be mutter. That won't change that the halacha requires, the halacha says that the actual produce will be mutter. because the actual produce will be mutter based on the fact that they took root. Here, there's a new consideration, that they didn't take root. And therefore, since they didn't take root, that's why the Gemara is suggesting that that may change, that you can't eat them, even though at one point they were mutter. So this is a very interesting discussion, because we're speaking here about something planted in the ground and did take root or didn't take root. The Rishash in Masechta Shabbos discusses that we know the first of the Melachah Shabbos that are also on Shabbos is actually Zareya, planting something. And of course, if we plant something on Shabbos, it's not going to take root on Shabbos. Yet the halacha is that if they eventually take root, they will become, you will have been over Isser Zareya. What will be the halacha, however, points out Rosh Hash, if you plant something on Shabbos, and before what you planted took root, you took it out from the ground. So says the Rosh Hash, that under those circumstances, it will not be considered that you will not be considered that you did the Malacha of Zareya. Because Al Gemara says the Rosh Hash is teaching us that anything until it takes root, it's not considered like it was planted. Then Rosh Hash compares it to somebody who put a dough into the oven to bake. And before the dough had a chance to bake, you took it out, you won't be chayif for a fear on Shabbos. But interesting enough, that's what Rosh Hash's opinion is. But it's interesting to point out that Michas Chinuch, the Eglei Tal, disagree, and they hold that even if you take the seeds out of the ground before they take root, you can be chayif for Zareya. And the Sefer Dvar of Rom says that you can't compare seeds to anything else. He says, when we talk about seeds, it's quite common that somebody plants something and it's not going to grow, because there are many outside factors that determine if it's going to grow, rain, etc. And therefore, he says that when it comes to planting, the Torah says that you're over the malacha of planting as soon as you plant, even though it didn't take root. Whereas by baking, where under normal circumstances, cooking and baking, if you put the ingredients in, they will get cooked and baked. The halacha is, if you take it out beforehand, it's mutter. So how do these achronim deal with Al Gemara? That Al Gemara says that before it takes root, the Gemara is suggesting it's like sitting in the karka. It's not considered an act of Zariah. So they want to suggest there's two categories. The category that Al Gemara is focusing, is it considered, as we're going to be learning now, is it considered part of the ground or is it not considered part of the ground? But that isn't what we are focused on when we talk about Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're focused, did you do a malacha? And the fact that it's considered like in the ground, or if it's not considered like in the ground, has no bearing on that question. Another question. The halacha is that when you sell something, when you sell metatlin, there's a din, we learned in the Masechta Batzia, of Einoah, that if you overcharge the undercharge but with a sixth, then the halacha is that there's Einoah. Exactly a sixth, you have to return more than a sixth, Mekach toss, the whole deal falls apart. And now the question is, how do we look at these seeds? Do we look at the seeds like there's something in the ground, and therefore they don't have a gnaw? Or are they considered like just being stored in the ground, but they're metatlin, and they will be subject to a gnaw? Yesh len a gnaw, or ain lehem a gnaw? The question is, because the halach is ain a gnaw lekakos, is this considered something that's part of the karko or not? So says the Gemara, Hechidami, let's try to understand what is the question of Einoah that's being discussed here. Ilayim Damalei Shodeh Beshita, if somebody said, put in six core of seed into the ground. Vasasadav Ami Deloi Shodeh by Elachamisha. And Adam come and say that instead of keeping to their agreement of six, he only put in five. So then the halach is there's no question that there is a no. Because Amar Rav, a kol davar shebe midah v'shebe mishkan shebe minyan, whenever we talk about a measure, a weight, a number, so then a fil pachas mikdeich a no. This has nothing to do with the regular halachas of a no. Because if somebody explains Rashi and Baba Metzia, somebody clearly indicated that he wants this number and not a different number, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. Clearly, the deal was violated. And therefore, since the deal was violated, all the halachas of Eino are immaterial. You're not allowed to do something which is dishonest. If you said six, you're not allowed to give five. It has nothing to do with karka or it has nothing to do with karka or metatlin. Whatever discrepancy Chayzer invalidates the arrangement. Ella, says the Gemara, the question that Rabbi Bochana it's relevant to the following situation. Where the seller told the buyer, Shadi Baka the Baile, put into this field as much as is necessary. He didn't say a number, he just said, Do what's right for this field. And some Adam say that he didn't do in the field what is necessary. Yeshlam hana. It's that a question is that going to be considered a situation of a no or not? And what is the question? Yeshlam hana. The command of Shaji Bakajadami, is this considered like something that just placed in a basket in the field, and therefore it's like metatlin and yesh l'mainah, they'll be subject to anah. Adem abatul l'gabi ara, they become part of the ground. And since they become part of the ground, there won't be hilchus anah relevant. Says the Gemara, nishban aleim or enishban aleim. Another halacha is that when there's a dispute, sometimes the halacha says that one party can make the other party swear. For example, if somebody said, we had an agreement that you're going to put in six kor, and you only did five. And the halacha is that there's no shvu of the raisa. But let's say there was a moed b'miksus, where I said you agreed to six, and he said I did five and a half. So it's a moed b'miksus. So the question is that moed b'miksus, the halacha is a shvu of the raisa. And the question is, as we said, ein nishban al kakos. So the question is, do these seeds have the category, the status of karka or metatlin? Sagdamar, kedushadi b'kajidami, is it just like something sitting in the ground? And therefore, kemetatli dami, they have the status of metatlin, and they're going to be nishban alayim. We will swear. Adem batla gavara, they're considered part of the ground, and if they considered part of the ground, kimakarkadami, they have the status of karka, and as we said, by karka enish banalayim, and the Gemara remains with a teku. By Rama Bachama, chita shebegloli bakar. If you found wheat in the manure of animals, v'sayrim begloli behema, and you found barley in the manure of an animal, mahu, what is going to be the halacha? Ask the Gemara exactly what is the question. Lamai, what do you mean? If are they considered like food, and food, as we often learn in Shas, is subject to Tumah, so are they considered still like food? Tanana, ask the Gemara, that's a Braisa. The Braisa says, Chitin sheberei bakar, v'sarim shebegloli behema, chishvaleim la'echlam, if you determine that you want to eat them, eimetama Eichlam. They're still not metamatumus eichlam. Lick them lachila, but if you did something to show that you want to use them as food, that you gather them with that intent, so then metamatumus eichlam. So the Gemara's question is that this is an explicit braisa that says the Mordechai, that based on what we just learned in this Gemara, that if we have manure of a chicken, they will not make the what is in them chametz. Because the Gemara is discussing if we could use these wheat for Karban Mincha. And the halacha, as we've learned very extensively, that under normal circumstances, a Karban Mincha may not be chametz. So if a Karban Mincha may not be chametz, how could there be a question that we could use these ingredients? They became possible because they're chametz. The fact that that is not a consideration, says the Mordechai, is a raya that just because it's in manure, it doesn't automatically become chametz. Ella limanachis, says the Gemara. The question is, can we use this wheat, this barley, for Karban Mincha? Says the Gemara, pshit delay. Of course it's not permissible. As we've quoted the Pasuk says, ha-krivinolof chasecha yitzo yisipanecha, would you bring this for an Avodah Zarah? And since you certainly would not bring it for an Avodah Zarah, you certainly can't use it for a carbon. And we've had discussions in our shurim that this din may be a din daraisa. Says, ma'alai tzricha d'nektinu v'zerinu. It's talking about somebody gathered these wheat from the manure, and replanted them, and they grew, and they grew. And they want to use this for carbon mincha, from this wheat. Mai, what is, do we say? Says the Gemara, what was the problem? They were disgusting to use something for carbon light from this. And now, however, by you replanting them, that takes away that problem. Grain that's found in this manure is never going to be quality grain. That can't change. And it can't be used for carbon mincha. And the remar remains with a teku. Ask the Gemara further. Boy, Rami Bacham, pil shibola kfifa mitzras. A elephant swallowed a basket. Vikia derech beisreyu. And now it expelled it from its rectum. Mahu, what is the halacha on this? Lamai. So again, ask the Gemara, what is your question? If you're saying is that we started with a basket, for example, that was tamei, and now the elephant swallowed it. And the question that we're having is, does that, after it swallowed it and expelled it, does it take away the tumah? Ask the Gemara, this is a Mishnah Masech Kalim, Perichay Chavhei Mishnah Tes, that teaches us, Kol HaKem Yolun Dei Dosu Mechumach Shava. The best example that can be used is a piece of leather. A piece of leather could be used as a tablecloth, as a mat, and that, if you just have the piece of leather, it's already able to be used. It's already able to be used. The question is, if you want to process it further, you want to make it into shoes. So it says the Mishnah, if you have a piece of leather, kol ha-kelim yodlim de-demasu b'machshava. If you decide I'm going to use it for a mat, so then it's already mekabel tuma. If you decide that you're going to use it for shoe, it's not yet processed and it's not mekabel tuma. However, if somebody has a keli, it was determined to be a keli, and now he changed his mind and wants to use it for a different purpose, that isn't satisfactory to take off the tuma. You have to actually do something to change it. So here, nothing changed. This basket is as it was. The animal just expelled it as it was. So if it was tummy before the animal, it was tummy before the animal swallowed it, it will remain tummy even though the animal swallowed it and expelled it. Says the Lord, the question here is the bala hutsim. The elephant swallowed like leaves, and then expel them. And now the person made a basket out of it. Do we look at these pieces of reeds or whatever as if they were digested? And therefore the basket that was made now from them, that's something that's made from animal manure, or kli adama, or like kli cheres, and they won't be mekabel tuma. The Amar, the Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Ches Amar Aleph, Kli Avonim veKli Glolim, Ein veKli Kli Avonim Kli Glolim. Kli Avonim is made kalim that are made out of stone. Kli Galolim is made out of menor, Kli Adama is clay. Ein makabel tuma lemid v'tayir b'lemid v'seferim. Or do we say that even though it went through the body of the elephant, lo yav ikol, it's not considered as if it was digested, and therefore it retains its original status, and it was made out of something which is makabel tuma, says the Gemara. Tishlei mahad da'amar ula mishum rav Yehoshim b'yitzadik. The Gemara wants to suggest that the way that to answer this question is based on what Ula said in the name of Shimei Yitzadik. My sabal is even shnei to nikus beiver yadin. There was a terrible episode where wolves swallowed two children eiver yadin, and then the bodies came out of the animals. The question was asked to the chachamim. They said that they're not considered mace. They're considered as part of the animal. So we see from here that anything that was swallowed by an animal and then was expelled by the animal from its rectum, it's considered like it was digested. It's not what we started with, and therefore it doesn't have tumas mace. So shouldn't we say the same by the elephant who swallowed these reeds from which we make a basket, that they're not considered reeds anymore, and therefore they're not makabel tumah? Says the Gemara, we can't bring a raya from the basar. Shani basar derachuk. Meat, the flesh of a person, is very soft, and therefore it's considered like digested once it went through the animal system. But here we're talking about pieces of wood, that's considered like it's still what it was, and still makabel tumah, even though it went through the animal system. Ask them a lishta m'seifa. The proof to this question should come from the seifa of that Mishnah. Because the Mishnah over there says, v'timu esan tzomais. They actually said that the bones of these bodies are still tame because they weren't digested. Isn't that a raya? That the same thing by the pieces of wood that we're talking about in our shear, even though they went through the animal system, are not considered digested. Says the Mara, that also is not a raya, because that tzomis are bones, and bones are kushitfei, are very hard, and therefore they're not considered digested if they went through the animal system. But when we speak about hutsim, they're not as soft as basar, and they're not as hard as bones, and therefore the Gemara is not quite sure how to treat it. Our Gemara has now discussed the question of how we look at something an animal ate. What is the halachic status of something that was eaten by an animal? And this is a very important question because the Rishonim discuss already the halacha behema shenispatma be'isser, if an animal only ate something that's not kosher. What will be the status of that animal? And the Yerideya, the Ramah, I'm sorry, in Yerideya, Simen Pei, Sif Aleph says, Pehemesh nesmatma bedvar masurim, if an animal ate something non-kosher, muteris. But continues the Ramah, Avalam loin nesmatma kol yumea, rak bedvar masurim, if its entire diet, its entire life, was only non-kosher food, asura. The Shach, however, in Sifkaten Hay, disagrees with Ramah. Even if you have an animal that its entire diet, its entire life, was only non-kosher food, since we're learning in our Gemara that food that's eaten by an animal and digested by the animal loses its status, and therefore the fact that it only ate non-kosher food, says the Shach, is immaterial. The Shach does, however, agree and says that if what the animal always ate wasn't just something not kosher, it was something that was osur b'hanah. The best example I could think of is bos b'cholav, which is something that's osur b'hanah. Even the Shach would agree that you're not allowed to eat that animal. The Igros Moshe in Arachaim Chelik Aleph Simon Kuf Mem Zayin discusses this question, and he says that something that goes in to an animal and becomes part of the animal, the halacha is it doesn't have the same status what it was before. Having something. However, if something wasn't digested, then we have a problem. Therefore, he suggested if an animal ate something non-kosher, we have to wait till everything was digested. Having said that, the Masham says a very big chiddush. He says that even though there are those that are lenient by behema shenisbatim miyisur, he says that makes a difference what type of isur it ate. And the Masham wants to suggest that if the isur that this animal ate is the same category of what it is, what that means to say is, says the Masham, if you have an animal and the animal during its entire lifetime ate only non-kosher meat. So meat is what this animal is all about. Since meat is what this animal is all about, suggest the Masham that everyone would agree that under those circumstances, we're not allowed to eat that meat. If an animal's entire diet was just non-kosher meat, then everybody would agree that you're not allowed to eat that animal. Continues the Gemara by Rava Bar of Chanan. Chitin shezara bekarka. If you planted wheat in the ground, and Haimer Matiram, and the Omer passes, what will be the halacha? Will the Omer permit us to? No, I'm sorry. Ask the Gemara. By Zera, Chitin shiyarda ba'oven. If you have grain that comes down through clouds with the rain, mahu. So there's different interpretation how to understand the Gemara's question. Rashi explains that what the Gemara means to say is that you had something that got evaporated from into the clouds and then come down through the clouds. Tosis explains that what happened here is that there's some sort of a nace, and that the clouds didn't just expel rain; it also expelled wheat. And the question now of the Gemara is going to be: what is the status of those chitim? Of course, I saw that the Mefarshim asked a question. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos, in discussing and describing the Neis Chalav, Neis Chanukah, says that they found, came Chanukah, and the Neis was that they found only that one jug of wine. And everybody knows the question of Beis Yosef. So there was no Neis on the first day, it was only on the other days. So the Mefarshim answer that a Neis always has to have something that the Neis should happen with. So even on the first night, there was some oil left over. So asked Reb Chaim Brisker that we're not allowed to use that oil, we're not allowed to use something, we're not allowed to have anor from Ma'is Nisim. Reb Chaim Brisker asks more. He says, the Torah says that we're supposed to use Shemen Zayis, olive oil for the menorah. This is not olive oil. This is Nais oil. So we see from here that it has to be that we started, the Klichemda says this part, it started with real oil. And since we started with real oil, the fact that there was more oil through a nace doesn't take away that this is real oil. So according to Rashi, our Gemara is most understandable because according to Rashi, we started with real oil. We started with something real that evaporated into the clouds. But according to Tosfos, it's something that's entirely new. How will Tosfos explain this Gemara if it was all Shemen? So we're going to have to somehow figure out with Tosfos that there was something that started that's real and only now, and that was what the Gemara's question is. Ask them, Alamai, what do we want to do with this grain? Why should they not be Why should they not be kosher? Of course, the Noda Behuda asks, well, if they were in the clouds, why don't they become chametz? And we know that chametz could make, chametz is not permissible for Karban Mincha. So the Noda Behuda answers that, especially according to Tosfos' explanation, but even according to Rashi, if they come down from clouds, it's not the same status as something that was mixed together with water became chametz. Ella shtei lechem. The question is, can this be used for the shtei lechem? Mai. What is the basis of the question? Explains the Gemara. The Torah, when it speaks about the shtei lechem, says memoish veisechem. Amar Rachmana. The Torah says I have to use memoish veisechem. Lefuki the chutz laretz loy. The something that comes from chutz laretz may not be used. Avol the ovim, if it comes from the cloud, shapadami, that would be acceptable. It has to be Mimosh Veseichem, and if it comes from the cloud, that is Lamiloi, it may not be used. Ask the Gemara, Umi Ikikar Gavna. Now the Gemara goes back to our original question. Is there a situation where it could come, that this could come, that the grain could come down from the cloud? And it's the Gemara in. Aditaya, there was a story with a Arab merchant whose name was Adi. There was a grain, the height of a tefach, that grew over an area of three parsoi. If a grain grew a third, kaidem oimer, before the oimer, v'okra, and then you took it away from where it grew, v'shashtol acher oimer, and you replanted somewhere else, v'tzifa, and it continued to grow. Mahu, what is the status of this grain? Basa ikim mezlinen, do we go after the what we started with, and that the oimer made it mutter, it was out of the ground from when the oimer was brought on the second day of Pesach. Adama basa tosefes mezlinen, do we look at what grew after it was replanted? That was not in around, that wasn't around when we planted the oimer, and therefore we're going to have to wait. Actually, oimer habav yetir, we're going to have to wait for next year's carbon oimer to allow it. Tifshalei, asking Mamahada, Amar Ravu, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yalda, if we have a young sapling that isn't yet 3 years old, so it's Orla, Shazifcha b'zakena, we picked it up from where it's growing, and we grafted it together with an older tree that already is past the three-year olah years. Obar peris, and this tree had fruit that grew before the act of harkava of grafting took place. Afilo hoisim masayim, even if you have the ratio of 200 to 1 of what's mutter of peris that are from the old tree versus the peris that are the what grew after the harkava versus what is there from before, also. So we see from here that we look at the ikur, and the ikur is the original tree. So isn't that a proof that here too we should look at the original thing and what the original produce that was planted became mutter through the carbon oimer? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Amri Yavisin, Batsa Shatara Shashastu Bekerim. If somebody planted an onion in a vineyard, so that's Kalia Kerem, and then Neka Kerem, and the vineyard is uprooted, and the onion remains there, and it continues to grow. I feel a house of Messiah. Even now, we don't have a problem of Kalia Kerem, because now there's no vines anymore there, it's Osir. So we see that we always look at the Iker. Says the Gemara, he atzma loy meilei. The thing that was became mutter through the carbon oimer, that's not the question. Mishap Shitalo Rabban the Bas Ikazlinan, Loishna Lakula, Loishna Lakumra. The question is, how do we look at all of these halachas that we just learned? Says the Gemara. Do we say that we always look at the ikr, no matter if by doing so it will result in a kula or a chumra? Adamasuki Masapkala, maybe it's a suffix. And therefore Lakumra Aminan, we only rely on the ikr when it's going to result in a chumra. The two cases that we learned about the onion and the tree that was grafted. However, by Chodesh, we want to use this principle of law that we always look at the Iker Lakula. And for that, Loyim Rinan. That far we don't go. And the Gemara actually says Teiku remains an unresolved question.